Can a $129 Android laptop fit the bill? It might if it's from Lenovo. We'll find out next. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, the TWiT show where we get products and give our fabulous staff a chance to look at them, play with them, and give you real world reviews of these products. We're going to kick things off with Iaz Akhtar from TNT and Know How, and some pretty good looking speakers.
Yeah, welcome back, Leo. First of all, these are the Logitechs.
Oh, in fact, as long as you're saying that, thank you to Shannon Morse, who's our producer who hosted the show this whole time I was gone. Thank you,
She's
Shannon.
Fantastic.
Nice job. All right, back to the speakers. These are pretty.
Yeah, we got the Logitech Z600s. Now, these are computer speakers, regular kinds you'd see attached to your computer with this included aux cable if you want. But the big hook about these things is they also come with Bluetooth.
So they can be wireless.
They can be wireless. So if you just want to put your laptop between it like I have here, I should be able to play audio through it. It also comes with this included USB adapter if your laptop doesn't have Bluetooth included. You can see it's got a really clean design. And one of the silly things that I really do enjoy about the Z600, Logitech actually has a dedicated Bluetooth button. It's not like some of those other speakers which are claiming, like, just hold down the logo button until something happens.
Right.
It makes it very easy. The volume is controlled up top here with this touch panel.
Can you get the shot of that? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so
you just rotate that and then
so once you take off the sticker, though, you have to remember it's on the right side. So it's on the right side. A little light shows up.
If it's not doing anything, go to the other speaker.
This side, there's no dot. You hear something there. I've got it. It pairs up to 8 devices at one time.
Oh, like that's kind of cool.
But if you want to, it'll keep connection with 3 at a time. So let's say you want to swap back and forth.
Right.
Like here, I have it hooked up to my iPad. I should be able to play something. Let's see.
Well, they sound good.
Nice.
That's a surprisingly good bass for little speakers like
that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I found the bass response was actually quite good. It wasn't very muddy or anything. I thought were really competent computer speakers. You don't have a subwoofer included, so you're not going to be like bass thumping beats. But if you wanted a pair for your laptop or your home desktop.
Are they bottom firing? Is that why they sound so good? Aha!
Yes.
Aha, do you see that? So they have speakers on the bottom. That means that the table is going to give you some of the resonance that you would get.
Good bass response from the table itself.
From the table,
Now, it's also, obviously you can see there's a lot of wires. There's a wire coming out of here because these are really meant for a desktop. It all comes
so much for wireless.
That's why I was thinking of them as computer speakers with Bluetooth as opposed to like the Bluetooth portable speakers we've seen. We get true stereo separation because of this. It's a pretty basic idea. Volume control, like I mentioned, is up here. Not a whole lot of buttons for you to mess with on the back. It does have this aux jack so you can plug in with the included aux cable.
In fact, I'd probably use a cable most of the time and then just use it for Bluetooth for portable devices, right?
I found for my laptop, I got some really crunchy audio for Bluetooth.
It's going to sound so much better if you use it.
But it sounded much better with the cable, much better with my iPad, probably A2DP versus other versions.
How much?
This is $149. Now, on the pros, it's got such a clean design. I really like the design. I love how simple it is. Mm-hmm. Having the volume on the top instead of muddying up the front with a panel, I really like that. It also has, I like the fact that it's versatile. You can use it as wired or wireless if you wanted. The decent bass response, as you heard, was pretty good.
It sounded good, yeah.
And this thing can get really, really loud. So if you want to just blast these things, you can get some really good audio. For cons, I had to start stretching. I'm like, it's not really portable. That's about it. There's really very little negative about these things. Maybe it would be nice to have dedicated bass and treble controls, but for $150, I can't complain about it. So for me, this is a definite buy. The Logitech Z600, if you want.
Bluetooth speakers.
Computer speakers that can also serve as Bluetooth, because I would love to use this around my office. And then, pair with my iPad, pair with my Nexus.
Very nice.
That's great.
So you'd buy those, put those in your office?
I would buy this with my own money.
Because you're a musician, so you're aware of sound quality.
Yes, I did. It's not spectacular. It's not like, reference monitors, but they're very competent.
Right. Thank you, Iaz. You catch Iaz every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., doing Tech News Today, our daily dose of tech news. And every Thursday, what you doing on Know How this week?
This week? What are we
doing? Do you remember?
I have a little bit with Scott Wilkinson on how to calibrate some audio.
He screwed up my TV. Just when you get him on, just ask him, what the hell did you do to my TV?
I will gladly speak to Scott about that, but we can talk a little bit about audio. Padre, what do you have lined up?
We're going to be showing you how to use a tap to secure your home network.
A tap?
To just make sure that none of your devices are phoning home.
This is a good idea. I love it. A little security tip.
Mm-hmm.
Father Robert Ballister also here. His review's coming up in just a bit. Before we do that, though, let's check in with Chad Johnson. It is OMG TV here on the Twit Network. We gave him this high-tech backpack to review. Chad?
Hey, Chad Johnson here for Twit and Before You Buy. And today, I'm reviewing the Polygon Sunfire backpack. So let's do a quick overview of what is inside of this backpack. You have a simple small compartment, which I kept mice and small electronics in. A big feature of this backpack are these latches. They can only open when you slide them off to the side like this. They will not pull. I've tried really hard. They won't slide the other way. And then there's magnets inside that they just kind of fall together if they are close to each other. Open that up and you get at the largest compartment of the bag. Inside of here, there are a lot of dividers. We have dividers for maybe some papers, a nice holder for an iPad, some pin holders on the side, a big compartment, which I have stored a bunch of badges, some lights, and some medicine down there. And then you have some smaller compartments with Velcro where I've hid a few more large wires, business cards, and just general things that are kind of small. This works perfect for power bricks. Now, if we throw that back over, you have three more compartments on the front. You have one which is more for business cards, pins, has those dividers built right in. I have a big old battery, because of course I'm a techie. Over on the side, you have some smaller compartments, which open up. I have some medicine in here. I go traveling a lot, and so you never know when you need Pepsi AC and things like that. And then over on the other side, we have another compartment, which I have empty. These little wings, you could theoretically throw some stuff in there, but it's not incredibly secure. Maybe for short-term things like water bottles and stuff like that. There's one extra compartment on this bag that I need to show off, and that is on the back. Past the straps here, which can sometimes get in the way, you have a laptop carrying area. This will hold up to a 17-inch laptop. Okay, let's get into the pros and cons for this backpack. First is that it's stylish. I really like the look inside and out. It's also comfortable. I really like the padding on the back. I could wear this for a very long time. And finally, the details of this backpack are really nice. The iPad holder and also things like this little Velcro that keeps your straps from just flopping around. Now, on the cons, this is a little bit smaller than my previous backpack, so I couldn't fit everything from that big backpack into this one. And on top of that, I didn't really love these clasps. There were some confusing bits about them. I thought that they would both open away from the backpack, but they open to just one side. So you have to remember that they're only going to go one way. And let's say you open it from an above position versus an in front of you position. That direction changes, and many times I found myself fumbling when I was trying to get in my backpack really, really fast. Okay, buy, try, don't buy for the Altigo Polygon Sunfire Backpack. This is coming in at around $90. I'm going to say buy. I actually really, really enjoyed this backpack. It's stylish, it's nice, and if this is too small for you, then I would suggest not getting it. It really does only have one compartment. Thank you so much for watching this review. I'm Chad Johnson for Twit and Before You Buy. See you later.
Thank you, Chad. Next week, Chad's going to review a pouch. But it's a really good pouch.
It's built into a kangaroo.
Yeah. As I mentioned, Father Robert Ballister is here, our favorite digital Jesuit from This Week in Enterprise Tech and Know-How. And we gave you, this is a phone people are very interested in, the Droid Razr M. Now, this is can I say OK Google Now to this phone? Does this have those features in it?
No. So this is actually the phone that was released a year ago, right?
Okay.
But
this is a year old phone?
This is a year old phone. This came out in August of 2012.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's actually become sort of the low cost option.
It's 99 cents.
Right. But it's Jelly Bean, so it's decent. It actually runs quite nicely. We wanted to see exactly how well a phone like this ages, if it could actually be still the phone you get if you're on a budget.
The Motorola Droid Razr M, model XD907, is a year-old Android-based smartphone connected to Verizon's LTE network, designed to provide long battery life, above-average performance, and durability in a small, less expensive package. It measures 2.4 inches by 4.8 inches by 0.3 inches thick and a quarter of a pound heavy. An aluminum bezel surrounds an edge-to-edge 4.3 QHD 960 by 540 240 dpi Super AMOLED advanced screen underneath Gorilla Glass, while the back is protected by a layer of Kevlar. Motorola claims that a nano coating makes the M water repellent, protected against rain and small spills, so we didn't want to tempt fate. We'll just take their word. The M is powered by a Qualcomm MSM8960 dual-core 1.5 GHz Snapdragon S4 processor on top of 1 GB of RAM. The M has 8 GB of internal memory and a micro SD slot that can support memory cards up to 32 GB. The phone supports CDMA 800 and 1900, LTE B13, WCDMA 850, 900, 1900, and 2100, as well as GSM 850, 900, 1800, and 1900, EVDO Revision A, HSPDA 21.1, and HSUPA 5.76. The Razer M runs Android 4.1.2 Jelly Bean, and the interface is smooth, responsive, and uncluttered. The processor is screen size appropriate for the M, meaning that there's plenty of power to make even graphic-intensive applications run smoothly. Call quality was excellent. Not only did users comment on the excellent sound, both from the internal mic and attached headphones, but in 2 weeks of usage, never once did I drop a call. Camera quality is average. The M features an 8-megapixel rear-facing camera with an LED flash and a 0.3-megapixel front-facing camera for video conferencing. While that spec's a bit lower than the competition, it is more than adequate for typical use. Complementing its cell-based communications, the M comes equipped with the standard array of wireless standards: dual-band 2.4 and 5 GHz Wi-Fi 802.11a, b, g, n, as well as Bluetooth 4.0 EDR and NFC. Power for the M is provided by a 2,000 mAh lithium-ion rechargeable battery. In my rundown test, the M lasted a whopping 14 hours of Netflix playback, 19 hours of talk and browsing, 12 hours of ingress, and at least 8 days of standby time. Additionally, the M is one of the fastest-charging phones that I've ever reviewed. Though most Android phones support decent tethering and hotspot features out of the box, the transfer rates on the M were exceptionally good and worth noting. In fact, on a trip to New York, the M became my primary internet connection, with enough speed to surf, stream, and call simultaneously without as much as a hiccup. In all, the M is a small, light, full-featured phone that has battery power for days and excellent usability. The Motorola Droid Razr M on Verizon is available now. You can get it for 99 cents on contract, $349 unsubsidized.
So obviously this isn't one of the newer generations of phones. It really competes on price. I mean, you get it on a 99 cents if you're getting it with contract. It does have a few things going for it. The first is it does actually have decent call quality. You know, it's better than most of the phones that I reviewed in this price range with this format. Also, I didn't think smallness could be a feature, but I had a few people in my community who actually liked how big this was. They don't like the bigger screen phones. Yeah. I love a big screen.
I do, too. I know.
Yeah, I guess if someone really wanted a smaller screen, they would
have. If you
have
small hands, you don't want a big phone.
I guess.
Too hard to
hold. So yeah. It's perfectly sized if you're a hobbit, I guess.
Okay.
Battery, call quality, the performance is actually pretty good, but I think that's mainly because the resolution's not that high. You're not pushing.
It's 720?
Pixel. Not even 720.
Not even 720.
Yeah. It's not any standard resolution, so right. That always looks a little weird whenever you try to scale it up. That's really all I can say, other than it is durable. I dropped this on a New York street, and it didn't even dent. Not the aluminum.
Give that to Brian. I think he could use it.
Yeah, he might. And it does one more trick. Supposedly, this has a nanoparticle protection scheme, which means...
Oh, no. Don't put that in water. Actually, go ahead.
We've like liquid
for 99 cents. Who the hell
cares? For 99
cares?
Cents. So we should just be able to...
Pull down your notification tray. Actually.
There you go. See, and... It's still technically
working.
Didn't
I review this last year? I think I reviewed this last year. The only real advantage of it is it goes full screen. I mean, edge to edge. And you can do that if that's something that
if
rocks your boat.
If you run in rainstorms a lot, then this might be the phone for you. I have to say, though, I wasn't all that impressed by the price, because it's 99 cents if you get a contract, but unsubsidized, it's $349. For less than that, you could get a Nexus 4.
You should get a Nexus 4 for that price. Yeah.
So I mean,
if you could,
if they could drop this 100, this would be a competent phone for that price. At $349, I'd say
try, because you really have to be into the call quality, into the battery, and into the size.
540 by 960 on the display.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird, resolution. So a try for the right person, a Hobbit. This would be the right phone.
Yeah, exactly.
The Droid Razor M. Thank you, Robert. Robert does This Week in Enterprise Tech Mondays and Know How on Thursdays.
Absolutely.
And more to come.
More to come.
We want more of Father Robert, Robert Ballasser. Let's take a look at Liz Romero's review of you don't have to have nanoparticle technology. By the way, is it still working?
Yeah,
it's good.
I'm swiping it.
Look at that. Works fine. You could just seal it inside a waterproof case from Outdoor Tech. Liz Romero has the details.
Hi, I'm Liz from Twit, and I'm reviewing the Safe 5 Waterproof iPhone 5 case. It is IPX7 waterproof up to 3 feet deep for 30 minutes. Okay, first off, we got to test that out. Jeff, you and me, let's do it now. 30 minutes in 3 feet of water. That's a lot less. So if it leaks, they are lying to me. And since I'm not made of money, I'm going to test this with some tissues and a little bit of Angry Birds Porky Pig guy and see if he leaks and tells me the truth. Wait for it. All right, time has progressed. Now let's see if this thing actually does what it claims it can do. Be all that you can be. All right, not 3 feet of water, but definitely there is no water in this case. I love that. That means I could actually put my iPhone in here and not have to worry about it. Another great feature about this case is you have full access to the screen. This is waterproof. I've still got full access. Sorry, I want to get into messages. I want to see IS sending all the text messages for know-how. I can do everything in here. I have access to the home button. I have access to the up and volume down buttons and power. And also right here, I can charge this puppy too. So let me lock that back up. 3, 2, 1. Simple and easy. All right, so for my pros and cons. Pro is that it works. We kept this in water for over 30 minutes and no water penetrated this case whatsoever. That's huge. That's the main reason why I got this phone. When I'm floating, I don't want to have to worry about my phone falling into the river and dying a terrible death because I accidentally dropped it because I really wanted to take a picture of something. Another pro is the pricing's not that bad. It's around $50. In most cases that are waterproof, dustproof, shockproof, or more about $70, sometimes $80. So pricing was good for me. For my cons, because this is more of a film instead of some type of glass or plastics that's covering the iPhone screen, you really have to get in there and press hard. Or another con is you don't have access to two things. One, you don't have access to the silent button, which is a huge thing for me. And another one is you don't have access to the audio jack. Not that you probably would be needing that when it's in water. You would like to be able to access it when you're out of water. So the audio jack is a big thing for me. Another note to make is this will not necessarily work for an iPhone 5S. Because one of the big features on the new phone is that you have access to a fingerprint scan. You can't do that with this because it's covered. The entire home button is covered by this case. So obviously that won't work. But if you're someone who got the iPhone 5 just for the new camera, the processor, then this will work perfect. Obviously it will fit. All right, so I'm Liz from Twit and I give this a buy. This company is great, they've never failed me and they continue not to. So, for the i5 safe case for the i5 phone, buy it. It's awesome. I'm done.
But once again, it will not work with the fingerprint sensor on the iPhone 5S. Thank you, Liz Romero. What do we call her? Sales assistant?
Lizard.
Lizard. The Lizard. Lizard77 in chat. Thank you, Liz. Finally, let's wrap things up with our very own producer, Shannon. Thank you so much for filling in for me while I was gone.
Yeah, I had tons of fun.
Everybody said you were marvelous and I should not come back. No, that's not what I heard. They said, don't come back. Let Shannon host this show. So Lenovo has, of course, the well-known ThinkPad line, and they've got some high-end stuff. But they also have a low-cost line, the Idea line.
They do. So one of their target markets is the budget tablet owner. So they wanted to break into that market with this guy, which is called the...
budget, right?
Yeah, it's definitely budget. It's only $129. It starts at $129. The version that we have here is $149. And this is the Lenovo IdeaTab A1000.
Costs more because we have more RAM in it, or...
Exactly, yeah. So it has some... a few better interiors. It comes with a dual-core Cortex A9 MCU chip, and you can definitely see that
faster,
especially when you do things with like the accelerometer. It's actually a little slow.
You pay $20 more, you get a little bit faster prompt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how long that takes?
I think that's partly Android. So a lot of Android devices are like that, huh? A little sluggish.
They are. Yeah. It also has 1 gig RAM, 16 gigs internal memory. It also has 32 gigs at external micro SD card slot on the side. So you can increase that memory size if 16 gigs isn't enough. And then I, of course, have the volume ports on the side. I have the power button up at the top with the audio jack next to it. These two are actually certainly close, the micro USB charging port and the audio jack, which may be a problem for some people.
If you were plugging it in, it might maybe get the headphones could get in
exactly.
The way,
but I don't know if you would be charging something at the same time.
I often do that. If I listen for a long time,
Okay. I never did that myself, so it didn't become a problem for me. Now, one interesting thing about the micro USB port is it's a OTG on the go, which means that you can charge things at the same time that you're using this as well, which is actually pretty useful if you have a whole bunch of different other products that you need to charge. For example, your cell phone, if you needed to charge that on the go. It's less than 1 pound. It's 0.7 pounds, so it's pretty nice there. It's about, I believe that equals out to 12 ounces exactly. And it also has a really decent battery. I wouldn't say it's great. It only lasts about 6 to 8 hours of battery life. You can only get about 6 hours when you're actually doing video playback. But on a normal consumer use, if you're just browsing the web and things like that, you'll get about 8 hours. It has, of course, Bluetooth on the inside, BG&N Wi-Fi. Now, one thing that I did want to focus on is they have Dolby audio and two different speakers on here. So you get dual audio. You get a nice stereo sound out of these two speakers. And that was their big selling point for this, is this is will be a good idea for anybody who is really obsessed with audio and having a decent tablet.
How does it sound? Sound good?
So if I pull up my browser, so I'll play two different videos, just a couple of short seconds on here. I have Radford's review of the 925. And I'll turn this up for you. It's nice and clear. It gets loud, too. It's pretty decent.
It sounds good. I mean, you probably can't tell at home, but it sounds pretty good, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And then if I pull up a different video, so I'll pause this.
I could do it for audiobooks. It would be fine. For watching YouTube videos,
exactly,
it would be fine.
Exactly, yeah. Now, if we listen to some music, for example, this is a little bit different. You'll notice a change. Oh, I got to skip this ad. I hate it when ads
karaoke-ing?
I am totally karaoke.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounded pretty good. That actually...
So I'll play some music that we won't get taken down.
There's no bass.
This is my friend Dale Chase. There is no bass. Yeah, and that's a big drawback of this. While it does get loud and it's very clear and crisp, it does not give you that nice bass like IS's speakers, for example.
Right.
So that's definitely a drawback and something that would probably keep me from purchasing it. Right. It's also now considered a little bit old because it has 4.1 Jelly Bean instead of 4.3, which was just released recently, even though this is brand new. This just came out a couple of weeks ago, so it's pretty brand new.
Well, you'd think it'd have a later version of Jelly Bean. 4.22 is pretty common.
Yeah, 4.2 is really nice, but 4.1, so definitely a little old. I'll save the display for last. I did want to mention on the front-facing camera right here, it does not have a back-facing camera on the plasticky back, and it's very plasticky, very cheap-looking. On the front, you get this little camera, and I'll pull up some pictures that I took. They actually don't look that great. So here's a couple of pictures I took earlier today and some I took over the weekend.
So 5 megapixels, 8?
It is 0.3 megapixels.
Oh, that's the front-facing camera.
Only a front-facing camera.
There's no back camera.
There's no back-facing camera. It's very grainy. It is very hard to get any photos in low light.
That's more for Skyping, I guess, or something.
Definitely is, yeah. You can't really get any good photos out of this with just a front-facing camera.
Right.
Now, the last thing on my list I wanted to mention is this display. And hopefully this processor will let me get back Bluetooth
home please. Home. Take me home.
So no physical buttons on there for a home button. It's all
capacitive. No.
So when it freezes
no
like that,
no home buttons. Okay, there. Okay. It froze.
There you go.
Which happens quite a bit. So the display on this guy.
I don't think you need to go much farther.
The display is 1024 by 600.
Ooh.
The resolution is really, really low.
Yeah.
And on this 7-inch device, in this day and age, I would expect a much better resolution because the pixel density is just terrible.
It's cheap. That's $149.
It's definitely cheap. Even the viewing angles, though, are really bad on it.
I think people should spend a little. I always tell people this. A cheap tablet is going to be a bigger expense because you're not going to use it. Spend $229, get a Nexus 7.
Yeah.
$80 more, you get an Nexus 7.
When I do the viewing angles, even turning just slightly off camera, it just goes.
You get outdated software, really bad camera on that.
And if you look at this front-facing, take a look at that. It almost gave me a slight headache because of the
resolution.
Strange-looking
resolution. It's not super high. Yeah.
So it was just, I really didn't like that. The display is just so bad.
Why don't you do the pros and cons,
so
then we'll surprise everybody with your recommendation.
Pros, pretty good sound quality with the dual Dolby speakers. Little to no bloatware from Lenovo, which is definitely a plus.
Yeah.
I hate it when companies put bloatware on there. The cons, of course, the terrible screen.
Yeah.
The screen's horrible.
Really is bad.
The performance, as far as the CPU and the processing speed go, is definitely slow, especially on the accelerometer. And one very, very low quality camera on the front.
Yeah.
Which is so, so bad.
So, buy, try.
So, I bet you can guess.
Even at half the price, probably a don't buy, yeah?
Yeah, even at half the price, I would give it a don't buy. I would say, you know, cash out the little bit of extra money for a Nexus 7, or even the Asus has a 7-inch tablet, which is the same price.
But we still like the Nexus 7 quite a bit. I think that there are good choices out there.
I think in this case, Lenovo should stick to laptops.
And it baffles me that Dolby puts its name on something that sounds that bad. I mean, really, Dolby, come on. All right. Thank you, Shannon Morse, produces Before You Buy. Also, you'll see her all the time on a lot of our shows. Really appreciate it. You'll be playing poker tonight on Friday.
I will.
Will you? I don't know.
Okay.
Yes?
I guess
Shannon,
I'll be playing
you play poker?
I did win some money over the weekend in Vegas.
Well, there you go. You better watch out, Padre. So our resident priest is holding a poker game on Friday night. Make sure you tune in. Shannon will be taking the pot. Thank you, Shannon. But right now, you can take that Lenovo away. Hey, thank you all for being here. We do this show every, what is this, Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Around about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 2300 UTC on twit.tv. Watch live if you can. If not, twit.tv/BYB. Or go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Or subscribe. Then you get it every week. We chop up all the reviews, though, and you get individual reviews on YouTube. That way, if you want to share, if you say, hey, Mom, don't buy the Lenovo, you can send Mom Shannon's review, and it'll help her decide what to buy. Thank you all for being here. We will see you next week. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. Bye-bye.